Previously on the Social Proof Podcast.
If we go back to nature, right? Women naturally were created to be natural nurturers by giving birth to the child. Like naturally birthing and having the empathy built in for the child. That's natural. We were naturally, and if I go back to a book of faith, as men born to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion or be dominant, right? To go hunt so that she can take care of the children. Naturally, I'm not saying that you're supposed to.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. Naturally.
I'm just saying, I'm not talking to all y'all.
But so naturally, you're born and gifted with the empathy. And I agree with what you said. So now I think as we're born and gifted with these different natural tendencies, there is a growth process and a maturity process. So with what you said, it is that man that's around that woman that is motherly like to him, that helps him mature into his what I call stage five manhood, meaning he is love and attention, regardless of what he's receiving. Whereas as a natural woman, because you're naturally empathetic and love your child that you birth, you know how to transfer that onto the man.
Yes.
That's good. Yes,
that's 3 points. Give us three.
Yes, I love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, I'm listening to everybody, and I think I align probably a little bit more with Coach Kelly. And this is what I mean by that. So I'm not quite sure in terms of where I land, if I would say one gender is more emotional than the other. I think the issue is not like the amount of emotion. It is the capacity and the methodology through which the capacity for it and the methodology to express it. So I think someone just said, hey, when men act, I think Donnie said, when men act, they act. What I've found is sometimes men act by not acting. So shutting down is an emotional response. Silent treatment is an emotional response.
You talking to my wife? Did she call you?
Nah, my man. So, you know, I feel like the assumption is if the emotion is expressed outward, then that's an expression. Yeah. But if a person goes inward, that's not an emotional expression. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying going outward is an expression of emotion and going inward is an expression of emotion. Mm-hmm. And men go inward, one, like even that first quadrant, emotional intelligence, self-awareness, they go inward because it takes them a minute, it takes us a minute to even figure out what it is. I gotta name it before I can talk to you about it.
Can I give a real live, transparent example? So we're in Italy and we're out at dinner and my wife pissed me off, right? She said something real slick. It got me upset. Let's just keep it real, right? And so I got quiet. I went inward, right? I ain't want to mess up everybody's time. So I got quiet. Somebody at the table said, well, you in that zone? I said, no, I'm pissed off, right? So we get back to the villa and I'm downstairs in our room and I just go in my cave and I'm getting quiet, dealing with it internally, trying to strategically figure out how I'm going to handle this, right? So she came downstairs and she was like, you in that
zone? Why I grown?
Yeah.
I heard,
Yeah.
She came downstairs.
But this is where we talk about maturity and stage five. So watch. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm pissed. And she said, why? And I told her why. And then she was like, well, I'm pissed. And I'm like, why? And she said, I don't think you give me enough intimacy. Ooh. Now she done shifted the whole hookup. And I'm like, well, what do you mean intimacy? And she said, well, I don't feel like you. And I said, I don't understand intimacy. You can tell me, but I need you to teach me. I need you to show me. I said, remember when we first got together, you used to grab my hand in the mall and I pull it away and you grab it back. And I had to learn what it looked like. I used to rub your behind and then I'm sorry.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, I want to be intimate. I want to show emotions, but there are times when I need you to share with me and show me how to really do that. So when I go inward, now I'm comfortable, I can come out and you can really show me how to do it.
So question. One, that going inward, you said, I didn't want to ruin everybody else's time. So I went inward, I got silent. That is ruining everybody else's time. Just heads up. it is definitely ruining the time, okay? But secondly, how long have you been married?
11.
11 years.
Second go around.
Okay.
I got a total of 30 in the game.
My question becomes, you said, I want to be inward and I want to express that way, but you have to show me. It's been 11 years. At what point do we get it?
Yeah. No, I agree.
No. That's a real, real, God knows it's a real question.
Truth be told, now watch this.
Here's, misunderstand.
Here's the good thing. Here's the thing with it. As a man, my priority and my focus naturally is to go what? Go hunt and generate revenue, right? Now, naturally, that's where my mindset always goes initially. But now when you keep at the forefront intimacy, now it's being programmed along with the hunt. In between the kill, let me be a little intimate. In between the smash and grab, let me be a little intimate. So I have to continuously be taught. Now watch this. Then I told her. I said, you can't just show me one time like you did back in the day. I need you to teach me. Just like we teach and train each other how we like other things. It's got to be a consistent training. It may not be as intense, but it needs to be consistent.
Hmm. I have a, because I think about, is it maturity or is it, you know, we 40-something, last year I was dating a guy and then he said something like, I don't want to add you to my list of things to do, right? Something like that. Hmm. And so I went in. So I said, okay, and I hung up. And so I started to think about it. Nobody can create that much deep suffering for me unless there is something from my childhood that's unresolved. So I had to start thinking, what happened and what am I now connecting this pain to? It's not him. And that's what we do as women is like, and I'm not saying all women, I would say some people, just generalize it, is that we take offense to something that somebody said. He can't create that much deep suffering for me. So I was sitting with it. He blowing my phone up because he know he messed up. Like, he's blowing my phone up. And I'm like, dude, just chill because I need to figure out what did he tap. And as a kid, in some instances, my family always felt like they were tolerating me. That's what he touched. That's what I needed to work on, not get mad at him for what he touched that wound. Is like, okay, this is something that I now need to address. And so when I answered the phone, he was like, oh, what did I do? I said, no, we're good, because I found out what the real problem was. But now, will you agree not to weaponize my trigger against me because you now know what the trigger is for me and what my responsibility is if you say something like that again? I don't need to react from that old mind. I need to keep at the forefront that may be something that triggers me.
Dang, that's good. Okay. I want to know too, and I think.
Listen, family, Black representation in media is vital, okay? If we don't use our voice, we lose our voice in radio, television, print, etc. I remember listening to Arsenio Hall back in the day. I remember watching Oprah. I remember hearing these Black voices in media, and it made me always want to be a part of it. The next generation, however, of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. And in the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths, okay? I'm checking out NPR, and I believe they have the real. The hosts understand the assignment and are telling the real stories of the Black experience. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story, obviously, but now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and as Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
I don't know, was that you, Darius, where you said we got to put a name on the emotion? So this was maybe a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I was trying to understand this emotion that I was going through because I had never experienced it before. And I didn't know if it was depression because I never felt like this before, where I'm walking through my day, walking through life, and it's almost like a haze. And I don't know how to feel the stuff that would normally make me laugh and happy. It's a slight smirk, and then it's over. And it stuck with me. And I'm getting through it. I'm feeling better now. But the hardest part was naming what it is. So I think I asked my wife, then I asked Donnie, like, yo, is this depression? What do we call this? And they said, well, it's grieving. Then I start looking up grieving, and I'm trying to define how I feel, but it's a challenge for me. So I need help. If somebody can help me start to identify, I don't know, the names or how to express what I feel. Because sometimes I feel something and I'll just keep going and eventually it'll go away. Like a headache. Like I got a headache. You don't spend too much time on the headache trying to figure out the headache. You just go through until you don't feel the headache anymore. But in this scenario, I'm like, maybe I've been doing that with all of my emotions. Because if I can't find the name of it, I just hope that it goes away. And maybe there's a suppression.
Do we need to know the name of it? Do we need to?
I don't know. That's my question.
Because what I'm thinking is, a lot of times we try to figure things out when we should be feeling it out. And in figuring it out, sometimes logic in that season of you trying to figure it out, it ain't time for you to figure it out. So understanding, and I like that, are we suppressing? Sometimes you just got to feel it through and allow yourself to go through with it without allowing yourself to suppress it. So that when it shows its ugly head again, even if a name isn't attached to it, there's a feeling attached to it. Like, I know what it feels like. How can I move through it?
Yeah, I was working with Zeus, and I'm gonna get back in the gym, I promise, bro. But the cool thing is, yo, first off, and I don't even know if you're still like accepting clients, but it was just the dopest experience because most trainers, they tell you what to do, do 20 of those, 30 of those, but he's like talking to me the whole time, and like it almost felt like therapy, which I really, really appreciated. And you're kind of helping me work through those emotions. So how would you say that I can start out? Well, first off, should I be trying to define what this thing is? Or I don't know how to feel it. Like, you just feel through it. It doesn't connect with me. I don't know. So what would be your advice on that?
Now, you definitely want to ultimately identify, because that's a part of, you know, what we're talking about today, emotional intelligence. You have to understand what makes you tick. And we talked about that. We talked about, you know, going into your psychological, emotional house and going from room to room to room. You know, we all have those houses, those rooms in our house or the attic or that part of the basement we hadn't been to, we hadn't seen in months or years. We don't know what's in the boxes. We don't know what's in that closet, right? And so, when your mind is like that, when you have those spaces that you haven't visited, you don't know what's in that room. Sometimes you don't even have the key to the door to get in the room. So you have to work with somebody to create that key, to open that door, to go in that room, to see what's in there so you can understand yourself. Because there could be something in that room that's wreaking havoc on your life. You don't even know. It's in the room. But you're impacted by it. Just because you can't remember it, just because you don't know what it is, doesn't mean you're not going to be impacted by it. Doesn't mean your actions are not going to be guided by this thing, this hidden thing, this unseen thing. So you have to go in those rooms, go in those dark spaces, and make sure you put that work in to make sure you know where everything is in the house. I know what's in that room. I know what's in the attic. I know what's in every corner of the attic, because it could be some trauma. It could be sexual abuse. It could be physical abuse. You know, it could be a death. It could be all manner of things, but it's your responsibility to put that work in, to go to those rooms and those spaces and explore. So yes, you definitely do need to figure out what it is, articulate it, put a name to it, right? And figure out where it comes from.
What's the score?
It's kind of like Christy.
I have a different perspective on that.
It kind of just made sense because what you said, the guy said something to you, mm-hmm. and it triggered you. Mm-hmm. And somehow you were able to go back into that room and say, oh, I never felt like a priority mm-hmm. amongst my family, right? Mm-hmm. But how did you connect what happened to the feeling to what happened in the past?
I think it's two parts, right, to what you're talking about, because you have deep suffering that can occur based on what somebody said to you. But if you're walking around kind of lost, I think a challenge that for where you are right now is that you've reached a stage of spiritual development that you haven't experienced yet. So your ceiling became your new floor, and now you're like, because you have it all, right? I mean, you know, by standards, like, you have the family now, you have the kids, you had a very successful year this year with your podcast. Now it's like, what makes me happy now? Does that make sense? So if you're always in the hunt, you're always in the chase, it's now like, what do I do now? So how do you feel good now at this stage of development in this physical realm? Spiritually, it's like, so now it's exploring, what am I going to like now? Because your tastes have changed.
Yeah, but I want to be able to, y'all ever have something happen to you and you feel a way and someone triggers you, but you know they triggered you. You don't like what was said. Or you don't like what's happening. But I thought it was amazing that you could connect it to childhood.
Yeah.
And how do we do that?
To listen to or watch this full episode, be sure to check out the Social Proof Podcast on your favorite listening platform or on YouTube.
Finally, you asked for it. And we created a Patreon, okay? We created an inner circle. We have amazing stories, amazing information, how-tos from the episodes. The only thing we're missing is a community. So it's about that time. We put together our Patreon, we put together our community because we have to have conversation around the information. So even this podcast we're listening to right now, there needs to be conversation. I want to hear what you got. I want to hear what you got. Like, let's throw some stuff back and forth. And because we're like-minded, we're all going in the same direction. When we connect in a community, we can connect on other stuff outside the community because we're building real relationships. Okay, so check out the Patreon. We got 3 tiers. I don't care what tier you join. The support is appreciated.
What if I told you for $1, I will introduce you to hundreds of entrepreneurs every single morning this week from all across the country? You'll be able to talk to hundreds of entrepreneurs and I'll coach you for $1 this whole week. And I'll introduce you to some of my successful friends for $1 this week. Would you take part in that? Well, go to themorningmeetup.com because that's exactly what we're doing here, okay? The only organization that gathers entrepreneurs every single day for the betterment of entrepreneurship, okay? Every single day, Monday through Friday, we gather, we're growing, we're learning. We got a book club. Have you ever seen hundreds of entrepreneurs reading the same book every single chapter, every single day? We're growing together, okay? You need the environment to grow in. Themorningmeetup.com, $1. I'm going to give you all this for $1. If you want to stay, great. It's $79 a month after that. If not, no obligation. You can leave whenever you want. All right? TheMorningMeetup.com. I'll see you in the morning.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.